We've been starting a study in the book of Mark, and we are not going to move rapidly through this. Too often what we do, and I think even in our own personal devotions, we read parts of the Gospels, and we just read them through and feel like we've done our religious duty or something, like God's satisfied, like, oh boy, he showed up to read this morning. No, it's for us to be edified and to be taught by the Lord, and the same thing's true as we meet together to worship. So we're going to take this a little slower. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would. And we're going to read this together. Well, I'll read it. You'll listen, and then I'll pray. But I ask you to stand because sometimes it's important to remember this is God's word. This is God's word that we're reading here, okay? Beginning in verse 40, we read, "A man with leprosy came to Jesus, and he begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him," and NIV says he was cured, but really cleansed. Leprosy is never cured, it's cleansed. "And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. 'See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.' Instead, he went out, he began to talk freely," I'm not sure I can blame him, "spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but he stayed outside in lonely places. And yet the people still came to him from everywhere." Let's pray together. Father, you've given us your word, and you want us to learn, Lord. And we ask that you would open it, Lord, like a flower in the sunshine, Lord. Just open it up to us. And may we receive far in abundance beyond anything we've ever received from this passage before. May we understand better what it meant to be a man full of leprosy, like Luke records. What it means to have been cut off from everything. What it means to have been touched by Jesus. What it means to be cleansed. And even in this, to see our own cleansing from the power of the sin that once entrapped us. And for many here today, that may still be true. And young or old, men or women, Lord, may we understand what you have for us today. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, may you anoint this time that we hold together here. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I suspect that we've all read this before. There might be a few people in here who've never read what we just did, but now you did. So we all have. Matthew records it, chapter 8. Mark records it, chapter 1. Luke records it, chapter 5. Virtually the same in each of them. Matthew tells us that it was right after Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount that he came down and then a man came to him and fell on his knees in front of him. Luke, the doctor, records that this man was full of leprosy. That means he was in the last stages of leprosy. Probably we've all heard teachings about leprosy before. That's always a challenge for me. My job as a pastor, as a teacher of the word, is to exposit. That's a fancy word that just means to expose, to open it up so that you can see what's going on and then let the Holy Spirit make application in our lives. How do you exposit a passage that's been exposited so many times? How do you exposit a passage and explain to people a passage that they've had explained to them that many of us in this room think we understand? Now, this is the second service, so there's more people here than in the first. But probably no one in here has leprosy. And the rest of you are saying, I hope so. Because it is contagious. It's called Hansen's disease today. It's named after the man who discovered the bacteria that causes the disease. We don't see much of it. It does happen sometimes in America. Happens sometimes in Europe. But for the most part, we don't find it on these continents, but we do find it in third world countries. Happens where sanitation isn't that good. It is a bacteria that causes the disease. We've read the Bible. We've heard teachings about it. Maybe some people have done some studying. You know, you got a Bible handbook. You look up leprosy. You go online, look up leprosy, try to understand it. Or you read a commentary. Maybe you're a Bible teacher. You have a home fellowship or youth ministry or some other area. And you study these things. That's good. And you know the basics about it. But probably no one in here has seen a person in the full stage of leprosy. Now, if you've seen Ben-Hur, you have an idea. Not a bad portrayal, actually, of someone in leprosy. What was his mother and his sister? Is that what it was? Worth seeing sometime. Especially if you've never seen it. All right, so it's caused by a disease. And it begins, usually, innocently. What's very interesting is that leprosy in the scripture is always a picture of sin. That's how God uses it. It's always a picture of sin. And it starts small enough. It usually starts with a white spot somewhere on the person's body. And then there are some more spots that begin to develop over time. And they grow more numerous and they grow larger. And then they become welts. And it attacks the face. And it attacks the extremities of the person's body, the hands, the feet, the fingers, the toes, the ears, the lips, the nose. The reason is, they've discovered, that the bacteria thrives in the cooler areas of the body. And that's why it's so prevalent in those areas. And what it does is it attacks the nerves. That's why when we hear, you know, stories or teachings about leprosy, or if you see pictures, you know anything about leprosy, you understand that people lose their fingers, they lose their toes, they lose these parts of their bodies because they have no nerve, their nerves are no longer living. And so you can put your hand into the fire and not know that it's burning. Your fingers will melt. You can step on metal or on glass or rock, get crushed and lose your toes. Can't feel it. It's interesting how it's a picture of sin. Because it starts innocently enough. And then, bit by bit, it has a deadening effect on the rest of our body. Isn't it interesting how God uses this as a picture? In the Old Testament, there are two chapters devoted to this. Unless you spend much time in Leviticus, you may not even know this. Or you probably haven't read it lately if you do. Because not many people go back to Leviticus very often, but it's worthwhile reading. And chapter 13 and chapter 14 of Leviticus are some of the longest chapters you'll find in the Bible. And chapter 13 is instructions to the priest on how to diagnose whether a person has leprosy. Because if a person has leprosy, they have to come to the priest. Everybody's going to start to know they've got a skin disease of some sort. And there are going to be severe consequences for having the disease. The severe consequences are going to be that you'll be cut off from the nation. It'll be your responsibility to tell everybody at a minimum of 100 yards away from you, unclean, unclean, don't come near me, I'm unclean. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's what you'd have to do. And you'd have to show yourself to the priest. And the priest has instructions there in chapter 13. It takes a couple of weeks, a series of shaving the body, inspecting, you know, the white spots and the welts and things like that, and quarantining the person for a week and then looking again and then giving it another week. So it's about 2 weeks it's going to take until finally the priest would make the determination that the person was in fact unclean and they would cast them out. They were outcasts entirely, cut off from their family, cut off from the synagogue, cut off from every relationship they've ever known, from your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, your friends, everybody, never to be touched again, lest someone else contract your disease. So the problem for me as a pastor is, how do I teach that? Everybody's heard this exposited before. I say from time to time, I say, you know, if you want to understand the Bible, if you want to understand what's going on in any of the accounts that we have in the scripture, we have to put ourselves in the skin of the person that we're reading about. Too often what we do is we read religious words. Oh, I know you don't think that, and you even think I'm being sacrilegious in saying that, but we do. We read the scripture, and we treat the scripture as if it was our duty. I read these very important words from God, and now I go on my way. But God isn't satisfied with that. He wants us to understand. He wants to be able to reach my heart. And the best way to do that is to remember that these people, in this case, who lived 2,000 years ago, they're just like me. They're just like you. They're no different. They have the same feelings. They get hungry. They go to the bathroom. They sweat. They got body odor. You know, they love. They hate. They cry. They laugh. They do all the things that we do. So, I don't think I'll regret this, but I thought we should go through this in a different way today. Let's put ourselves in the skin of this man and feel his leprosy. Understand it so that we're not 2,000 years at a distance looking back on, that's very interesting. But instead, feeling the pain, feeling the numbness, feeling what it means to be cut off. I've given him a name. His name is Shimon. You can call him whatever you want, but I'm doing the teaching, so it's Shimon. He lives in a little town called Svat, which is a bigger town today, but it existed back in the first century. It's about a day's walk, roughly, if you're in decent shape, from Capernaum. He's got a wife, Miriam, two kids, a little boy who's 5 years old, and a baby girl who's one. He loves them. He's a decent guy. He's got a leather business, a little bitty shop, right, as a part of his house. And he makes straps, and he makes harnesses, and he makes belts, and sandals, and things like that. Someone's got to. That's what they did in those days. He did that, and he just gets by. You know, leprosy is not something that really any of us think about. We're not worried about contracting leprosy. Neither was Shimon. But one day, he noticed something. There was a white spot. As he was sitting on his stool and he was working the leather, he looked down and he saw this white spot on his calf. He didn't think much about it. A few days later, he looked again, and there were more, and they were bigger than what he'd seen when he first took note. So he continued on. The weeks passed, and then he noticed some more on his other leg, and he noticed some on his forearm. He didn't like what he saw. But he didn't want anybody to notice. So, you know, he always kept the sleeves of his robe down when he went out in public. Then one morning his wife said, "What's that on the back of your neck? What's that on your back?" And of course, he showed her the other spots. Now they were becoming welts. He had something on the side of his neck, and so he stayed in his shop. He didn't want to go outside because he had this fear. You know, this really could be something. I don't know. He was in a shop one day. He was sharpening this knife that he uses all the time, and his little boy was standing there. And suddenly, this look of horror on his boy's face, and he thought, oh no, he's seen the spots. And then he felt the drip, drip, drip on his sandal, and he looked down, and he saw the blood that was coming from his hand. He just stabbed his own hand with the knife that he was sharpening. He'd cut himself before. That didn't bother him. What bothered him is he never felt it. See, that's what leprosy does. It begins at those extremities, and it begins to deaden all the nerves. This wasn't psoriasis. This wasn't eczema. This was something far more serious. And he went inside to bandage himself up, and he and Miriam talked. He knew what he had to do. She knew what he had to do. Because it wasn't going to be long. The rabbi was going to see. All the people were going to see. He had to do it. He had no choice. You know, he was a good guy. He loved the Lord. He followed the law. He kept Shabbat. He was kosher. He did the things that he was supposed to do. He went up to Jerusalem 3 times a year, just like every able-bodied man was supposed to do. You're supposed to go for Pesach, Passover. You're supposed to go up for Shavuot, for the Feast of Weeks, and or we call it Pentecost, and for Sukkot, Tabernacles. He did that. He was a good guy. But now he knew what he needed to do. So he and Miriam hugged. And he hugged his kids, And he looked them in the face and tried to memorize every single thing. The color of their eyes, the shape of their head, the shape of their nose. All those things. He might not ever see them again. He may never touch them again. It's a 3-day walk from Sfat to Jerusalem. He was already beginning to feel one of the next stages in leprosy, which was this achiness and fatigue in the morning. Now, if you're over 40, don't get upset. Don't self-diagnose. There's a lot more involved. This 29-year-old man. Took him 5 days, and I can't say that he was real motivated to go there either. He just knew what he had to do. He got to Jerusalem. And he went to see the priests. Actually, on his way, he did what he always had done. Because every pilgrim who came to Jerusalem, before they could go up into the temple courts, they had to go to the mikvot. They had to do the washing before they went up. And he went to do it, but the priest who was on duty saw him, and he saw the welts, and he saw what was happening to his face. You know what happens to your face is that the folds of your face begin to swell up. The face can grow to be twice the size that it used to be. And it oozes. And they saw it already beginning. And they said, don't come in here. Go up and see the priests. And so he went up. And already the people coming down the stairs, they saw him. They began to spread away. And they were looking at him. And they were talking among themselves. And he went up and he saw the priests. And they began the ritual. They did what they had to do. They took out Torah. And they went to, you and I call it Leviticus. They call it Vayikra. And they went to what you and I call chapter 13. And they followed it step by step. And they shaved his body. And they took note of this naked man in front of them. How do you feel about that? And then they quarantined him for a week. They brought him out again. And they inspected him again. And they put him back. And they brought him out a week later. And then he heard the word he dreaded the most. You're unclean. You're a leper. They threw rags at him. Get dressed. Because that was what the leper was to do. Wear rags. To stay a minimum of 100 long paces, we would call them yards, away from everybody else. And to warn everybody, unclean, unclean, don't come near me, I'm unclean. Think of it. Why? Why? Why has this happened to me? He was thinking. He overheard the priests speaking to one another. This is the hand of the Lord. And we say the Lord, Yehovah, the great I am. This is the hand of the I am. Judgment for this man's sins. What sins? What have I done? What makes me any worse than any other man? What makes me worse than my neighbor? What makes me any worse? You know your sin. That's why he's judged you. This is the hand of God on you. You're unclean. They shielded their faces. Unclean. Get away. And he left. What could he do? He ran. He stumbled. And people saw it. They heard. Everybody. I mean, I don't know what you think the courts look like, but there were mobs of people up there. And they all scattered. In fact, they began to say, unclean, unclean, you're a leper, you stink. What was he going to do? He is a leper. He never thought of being a leper. Have you ever thought of being a leper? What will I do now? If I ever become a leper, I'll do this or I'll do that. You never think of those things. He didn't know what to do. No different than you or me. He'd seen lepers when he was a boy. He would taunt them. He would throw rocks at them. And now they were throwing rocks at him. And now they're saying, you stink. What stench? Well, you know, it is a stench. We're not talking body odor. Because what begins to happen is, as the extremities are crushed and fall away, and as this bulbous mass of your face oozes, and as your skin cracks, you begin to rot. That's what was happening. If you've ever gotten a good snootful of a dead animal up close and personal, you have a hint of what that was like, a hint. But you and I can walk away from that rotting animal. The leper tastes it. Because the leprosy now begins to attack everything. You lose your eyebrows. They're one of the first things to go. He lost now by time. In fact, let's fast forward this. Let's move up 8 years. Because now he's in what a lot of people would call the later stages. Luke tells us that he was full of leprosy, so that means he was in the last stages. A lot of debate over how long a leper lives. Some people say as short as 7 years. Some people say as long as 12 or a few more years. It's been about 8 years for him. He has no fingers. He has no toes. His feet are wrapped in rags so that he doesn't step on something and bleed more. He has one ear. He has no lips. And in place of his nose, he has nostrils. I want you to go into his skin. I want you to smell it. Because he had to live with it. He had to fight with dogs for his food just to get some scraps. No one feeds lepers. Every once in a while, Miriam would leave a little bit of bread or some fish, but Miriam was so poor now. And his son was 13. He should have a bar mitzvah now. No bar mitzvah yet. Not yet. And his little girl, she's going to be 9 now. Poor. They hardly have anything. But every once in a while, Miriam would leave something and he could go and get it. He lived with who else? You live with other lepers. But all you are at this point is a stumbling, oozing, bulbous mass. And his face wasn't human. It's a cross between a lion and a gargoyle, almost evil. And if he didn't believe it, everybody else made sure he knew it. Because the little boys especially are throwing rocks at him. And the adults are saying, "Get away! You stink! You're putrid!" And he was. He had companions besides the lepers. The rats would come at night and would eat at what was left of his hands and his feet. And the maggots would crawl through his sores from the flies who had planted their eggs there. You don't think so? Think again. This is a life of a leper. All of this is summed up in those first four words. A leper came to him. But he didn't know Jesus. This is his life. Why? Why me? Why so cold? Why so harsh? Why? And what about my family? What's going to happen to them? Look at them. And now he's at the point. He can hardly even see out of his eyes because his face has grown so grotesque that his eyebrows and his, or you know, his forehead and his cheeks are almost meeting together. One of the things leprosy attacks are your tear ducts so that you have to actually work to keep your eyes moist. That's why most lepers go blind. It attacks your vocal cords. You can hardly speak. You become raspy, almost growl. Luke says he was in the full stages of leprosy. And one day, a new leper came into this colony. And he told them a story about something that was going down at Capernaum. And told him about this new man who had moved into the city. You know, if you've been there, it doesn't look like a city. But it was, especially compared to all of the towns up in that area. It was a city. A new man moved in. He came from Nazareth. He was a carpenter. But this man was different. He healed. Everybody he touched, he healed. Right. Sure. Oh, no. He even casts out evil spirits. He's a magician. He's a sorcerer of some sort. No. He's different. I heard him. He took the Torah and he spoke it as if he was the one who wrote it. He's nothing like these rabbis that we've heard. He's nothing like the scribes and the Pharisees. It's as if it's his own words just coming right out of his mouth. Shimon thought, "I'm ready to die. Why this living hell? Why am I living through this living hell? Why do I have to be in this situation? God, kill me. Just take the breath out of my body, because what faces me after this thing called life can't be any worse than what I'm facing right now. Just take me out of here. And something stirred in him. And he couldn't put his finger on it, but something stirred in him. It was almost a question like, why not? So he thought, you know, okay. And he began to stumble his way down to Capernaum. Day's walk took him 3 days. No energy. He's almost ready to die. And he has to dodge all the normal people. And so he has to hide himself behind trees. He's always shouting, unclean, unclean, to anybody who comes his way. And he got down to Capernaum. Then he saw a crowd. And he saw them following this man. They called him Yeshua. Deliverer. Interesting name. And sure enough, people were coming to him. And they were bringing people like on litters. People who were paralyzed. And he would place his hand on them. And he would speak. And they would get up. And they would run away. They were so excited. He'd never seen anything like this before. How can that even be so? And the little kids were just running all around him. Is that his daughter? Could that be her? Something stirred. Go for it. They'll kill me. Of course, then he thought, what could be so bad about that? And so he tried. And he dragged his mass as much as he could, stumbling and dragging his limbs, almost like an animal on all fours at times. And he expected the people just to stone him to death. But the people separated, you can imagine. They gave him a wide berth. But no one said anything. And he collapsed, mostly in fatigue, on his knees in front of this man. And he looked up at him. What a face. He didn't look really all that different from anybody else, and yet, what a face. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. How long? It seemed like a long time that Yeshua just looked at him. And he said, finally, I am willing. The I am is willing. See, we don't pick up on this. What was Yeshua really saying? The I am is willing. The I am who gave me this leprosy, the I am who placed his judgment upon me, the I am who said, I deserve this because I'm somehow worse than every other man. The same I am who did this now, the same I am is willing to make me clean. All of that's going through his mind. But he looked at him. His eyes were different. He didn't have eyes like every other person. His eyes had life in them. Even compared to anybody else, except maybe his children, he'd never seen life in eyes before like this one had. He said, yes, I am willing. Be clean. He fell face into the dirt, and he began to sob. And he felt something on him. What is that? He felt it grab his shoulder. That's a hand. He's touching me. No one touches a leper. You become unclean. You receive the leprosy. He's touching me. He's touching me. He's touching me. Wait a minute. I feel him touching me. And these are tears that I'm crying. I'm like, wait. My head is in the dirt. I feel it. My hands are holding rocks from the ground. I have fingers. I'm clean. I'm cleansed. And he just looked at him. He said, now go
and show yourself to the priests and bring the sacrifice that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. As a testimony? What do you mean? As a testimony that the one they're seeking has come. Yeah, he left. And he left running. And he wasn't saying unclean, unclean anymore. All the people were saying, look at this. No one's ever seen a leper cleansed before. He was jumping up and down. I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean. And he made it to Jerusalem. And it didn't take him 5 days. And it didn't take him 3 days. He was there in 2 days flat. And he went to see the priests. He said, I'm here. I'm cleansed from my leprosy. They said, who are you? I'm cleansed from my leprosy. We don't know you. You're not a leper. No, I'm cleansed from my leprosy. You didn't have leprosy. Yes, I did. 8 years ago, I was here. Finally, one of them said, I remember him. I know his father from Tzfat. That's him. It's Shimon from Tzfat. He did have leprosy. We did bring that judgment against him. What were they to do? They had never had to deal with this before. They never had to deal with someone who'd been cleansed of leprosy before. You and I don't think about this. They began to talk about it. They called in Annas and Caiaphas, who were the high priests now. They said, what are we supposed to do? We've never used what you and I would call chapter 14 before, because no Israelite had ever been cleansed of leprosy. Let those words sink in. No Israelite had ever been cleansed of leprosy. Hundreds of thousands had had leprosy, but no Israelite had ever been cleansed of their leprosy. Well, what about Miriam, Moses' sister? That was before the law. What about Naaman? He was a Syrian. And they didn't even understand at that point why God had cleansed Naaman of his leprosy. What are we to do? They said. Annas and Caiaphas said, follow the Torah. And so they did. And so they opened it up and they did what Moses had instructed to be done. They took for themselves a piece of cedar wood. And they took for themselves a piece of hyssop. And they took for themselves some scarlet yarn and an earthen vessel, a clay pot. And they poured in it living water. You and I would call that fresh water, running water. And two birds. And they took the one bird, one priest held the bird, the other priest took the other, took its head off. Sorry. And they poured its blood into the water. That's what the law prescribed. By the way, it's called the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. It says right there, verse 1 of chapter 14 of Leviticus. The law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, and never in 1,400 years had they ever had to use it. So they poured the blood into this living water, and then they did what the law prescribed. They took the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet yarn, and they put them into the water and this bloody water mix. And they took the other bird and plunged it into this earthen vessel filled with this bloody water, and then flung it up into the air, and it flew away, and it splattered blood and water over the priests and Shimon. And they put him in quarantine for a week. That's what the law required. Also said he had to be shaved. Now, you know, they don't use soft touch. They didn't have that back then. Guys are saying, what's soft touch? Shaving cream. So they took some warm oil, oiled up his skin, and these knives, they would scrape him, scrape all the hair off. He loved it. I mean, normally he'd hate it, but he loved it. He could feel everything they were doing to him, and they quarantined him for a week. And after a week, they brought him out again. Sure enough, after inspecting him, there was no leprosy on Shimon. So now the priest said to him, now, go get a lamb. And just as Moses prescribed, bring that lamb back and offer it as a guilt offering for the healing, the cleansing of your leprosy. a guilt offering. I'm guilty of leprosy, and now I'm to bring a guilt offering for my leprosy? I was no worse than my neighbor. I was no worse than any other man. You received leprosy. You've been cleansed of your leprosy. The hand of God gave you leprosy, and the hand of God has removed your leprosy. Now, offer up a guilt offering. So he went and got a lamb. And he brought it back, and after the priest had inspected and said, "This lamb is worthy of sacrifice," the priest gave him the knife, and by the altar, he lifted up its head and slit its throat, and the priest caught the blood in the basin. And as that blood poured out into that basin, suddenly he understood something. I've been saying all along that I'm no worse than my neighbor, but I'm no better than my neighbor. And what I've received in this leprosy for all these years was the least. I deserve death. And this innocent lamb has taken my place and has died in my place for me. And he hardly knew what was happening. All of a sudden, the priest is putting his hand into the blood, and he's bringing it up and touching his right ear. And he says, "You received atonement today for everything you've allowed to go through your ear, all the wickedness that you've ever heard. You are redeemed." He put his hand in the blood again, and he grabbed his right thumb. He has a thumb now. "Now you're atoned for everything you've ever set your hand to, every wicked thing, every evil thing you've ever done. You are atoned. It is over." And then he plunged his hand in again and he put it on his toe. And he said, "Now you're atoned for, redeemed for every place you've ever gone that you should never have gone." And suddenly the other priest was there and he's pouring out this oil into a basin and he's taking the oil and he's putting the oil on his ear. And he says, "Now receive from Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, an anointing that you are now a new man, free from your leprosy, cleansed from it. And may everything that go through your ear be only what the great I Am would allow." And now he did the same thing with his hand. You're redeemed and you're anointed now as a new man by the Holy Spirit. Put your hand only to those things that God tells you to put it to. And he did the same thing with his foot. Go only those places where the great I Am tells you to go. Well, he went home. The story doesn't end there, and we're not done. Because he was reunited with Miriam, he started up his business again. You know, it flourished. He was there. What a bar mitzvah it was for his son, because he could teach him something now about the law that he never could have taught him before. He's an obedient man. So he did what obedient men do. When Pesach came, Passover, he made his pilgrimage with his family up to Jerusalem. It's 3 years later now. You know, it was a lot like what you'd expect to find at the Passover in Jerusalem. The streets were mobbed with all these people who'd come in from all over Israel and around the world, for that matter. The Romans were out in force. They were putting on their displays of how strong and how great and how mighty and all that stuff that they are. All this pomp and all that, but there was something else going on. There's prisoners, and they're talking about crucifixion. The Romans didn't crucify even on Passover. Why were they doing this? And he saw the three men who were going through the street, and he saw two of them were pretty well beaten up and whipped, but one was beyond even the appearance of a man. I mean, he knew that he was a man, but he almost didn't look human, in a sense, like he never didn't look human for all those years. Then he looked up as this man was carrying the crossbeam. His eyes came off the ground. Their two eyes, their two faces met. They looked at each other and he said, "I know those eyes. I remember those eyes. It's you. You're Yeshua. You're the one who cleansed me from my leprosy." But he didn't say a word. He just trudged on. And so he followed. He went up. They went to this place called Golgotha. And it does look like a skull. And they nailed him to the crossbeam, and then they put that crossbeam on a stump of a cedar tree. And he watched, and he watched through the darkness and then the earthquake and all those things. As he said, "I thirst," and they put wine vinegar on a sponge on a hyssop plant, and the guards were gambling for a scarlet robe. And suddenly he heard him say, "It's finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit." And he laid down his head. He died? Wait. The cedar tree, the hyssop, the scarlet. He saw the guard come up and stab him under the rib cage, and blood and water came out. "I'm the bird that flew away. I understand." He got it. Father, may we get it. Some of us here today, Lord, hear that and we rejoice to hear it. We say, "That's my Savior. Look what he did for me. He freed me from the power of sin and death. I had that leprosy in me. Sin, a much greater disease than leprosy. And you cleansed me from it, Lord. I have new life now. Thank you." Some people are here today. They made that choice years ago, Lord. You touched them. You said, "Be free from your sin." And they walked away happy. And they allowed over the years the cool places in their extremities to get this infection again. And they began to lose sensitivity, just like leprosy, as the power of sin began to take over again. Lord, today, they're hearing this and saying, "That's me." And they're saying to you right now, "Lord, I want to be freed from this. Not to be saved again, I know I'm saved, but I want to be freed from the power of what I am involved in right now, Lord. Set me free." Lord, you hear that prayer. And there are many in this room right now. Some of them are young, and some of them are older. And they're saying, "I don't understand it all, but I hear what he's saying. And I don't even know how to put it in words, but I hear the words that he's saying, and I want that. I want to be freed from this because I have lost touch, because I have lost sense of right and wrong. And I've been playing a game, and I don't know you, but God, I want to know you. You're the great I am, and I want to know you. Thank you, Lord, that you don't pick apart the words that we pray. You listen to the intent of the heart." And so there are men and women in this room today, Lord, who are saying, "I want that." And you hear them, Lord. May they receive new life today in Jesus. And the rest of us, Lord, may we receive the freshness of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.